Jeannie Patel Thompson, international best-selling author, health product formulator, horse listener, earth singer, mother, medicine woman, elephant acolyte, and regenerative farmer. This is the Jeannie Podcast.
All right, Jeannie Patel Thompson here with Ian Patel Thompson.
Ian Patel, please.
Coach Tomo. Coach
Tomo.
And quick update on our last podcast where we talked about Kathy and her massive $70,000 debt with CRA. She actually listened to the podcast while she was down at the coast seeing to unfinished business with the company. And in 2 days, because she said that what Ian said about mindset completely changed the way she viewed and looked at things. And in 2 days, she closed $170,000 worth of new business.
Was it that much?
Yes, 170.
I didn't realize she got that much revenue. Holy shit.
Yeah. So when the profit from that is going to clear the CRA debt, but of course there's a lag because those projects have to be done and all the inventory supplies have to be ordered and blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line financially is that in 2 days, she generated enough income that if all that profit from those two jobs was enough to cover the CRA debt. So
go, Kathy.
Yeah, a huge deal and good for her. And she's just been really good about picking up the phone. So here's Kathy's next issue. So there's a commercial landscaper who wants to go into business with her because he doesn't want to do residential. And like she works for a lot of wealthy clients who have, you know, it's still their home, but it's a very large home. And he doesn't want to do that. He just wants to stick with office buildings, strata, corps where they need the grounds done, commercial properties. But he really sees that there's a synergy there because, you know, he gets residential clients asking him, but he doesn't want to do that. So his suggestion was that if they join forces, put all their resources together, seems to be as good at what he does as she is. And he's like, let's make this bigger and better together. And I'll manage the commercial side and you manage the residential side and let's grow this. And so that was her question to me. And I know what I feel about that. But I raised an issue that she hadn't thought about. And I said, well, let's talk about partnership versus joint venture. So partnership is where you both have a shareholding in the company, right? So either you form a new company and you each take a shareholding, or one of you sells some of the shares of your company to the other one and you maybe rebrand and you both own your shares. But you're married to that person. A partnership where you both own shares in the company is no less complicated and no less deep than a marriage. A joint venture, on the other hand, she retains her company, he retains his company, and they agree to collaborate. And they have structures where if it all goes wrong, they have structures and procedures set out in writing where they can easily go back and be separate again. So what's your perspective on that, Ian? And what are the pros and cons of each arrangement?
Well, it was very interesting because Kathy called me as I was driving back from Vancouver on the highway, all excited because she'd made progress with the banks and stuff. So she was updating me how she's pursuing loans and all this stuff based on what we talked about before. And she was quite excited it was going places. Then she got excited about the deals that Jeannie had just been talking about. But then even more exciting was, I'm going to go into partnership with this guy and we're going to make $1 billion and it's going to be such fun. He's so different. And she's 25. She's all excited. And I just listened and I just went, slow down, Tiger. And my first question to her was, without even trying to, you know, knock her off her perch because she's done a great job, I said, how much money have you made with this guy so far? And she said, nothing, but it, you know, but, and I said, right. And I explained to her, I said, look, I come from, I'm sales and marketing. And for me, the bottom line is sales are the most important thing. in any business, because without sales, you don't have a business, right? And then I also said to her, I said, look, you have to go like with this guy, something is going to go wrong, period. It doesn't matter what it is. You're gonna have a default in a payment, product gets shipped is wrong, you do a bad job, you fall out because you disagree on terms, whatever it might be, something's gonna come up. And you need to find out how this person is in conflict. All right. And I said, the best way to do this is that you make money, he makes money, you split it 50-50, 60-40, it doesn't matter what it is, whoever's bringing the money, you play in the first 6 months in a honeymoon in the game of making money between you both. Then you will have a fight, guaranteed, in some shape or form. And then if you get through that fight, you then know each other. And then you're probably set up to be able to say, this is going really well. Let's look at doing something a little bit more deeper in terms of how we operate. And that's kind of where I came from. And it did take the wind out of her sails because she was quite excited, I have to say, Jeannie. And I didn't explain to her that I've had two or three partnerships. And again, they haven't ended well. They just haven't. It's just reality of human beings, all right? And if you have a partnership that lasts 20, 30, 40 years, man, you've been amazing. Because look how hard it is in marriage now to last 20, 30, 40 years, right? And partnerships in business are much easier to get out of than divorce, because you basically say, I'm out of here, buy me out, you buy me out, done. All right. There's no children, there's none of that stuff. It really is literally black or white. And people change, and circumstances change, and financial circumstances change, and the market changes. So, I know I'm going on a bit here, but I basically said to Kathy, I said, slow down, Tiger, do some business together, and then revisit it. And that was it. It was simple advice. And I've always found that in advice as well, financial, business, whatever. Keep things simple. And that was it. And that's where we ended up. So I don't know where she's at right now, because I think
Well,
she's
for
quite
me, I have, including my partnership with you, Ian, I've had five partnerships. And of those five, yours and mine is the only one that has been long-term successful.
why? Let's answer that one later. Let's answer that one later.
Yeah. My very first partnership with a gal that we went to university together. We had a photography business and then we went to Tokyo and then we went to London. So that partnership lasted a good 4 years, maybe close on to five. It worked really well because we had really defined roles, which is what you and I have as well. We have super defined roles of I do this in the business and you do this. And I don't play in your sandbox and you don't play in my sandbox. And to do that, you have to have, first of all, 100% trust in each other. You also have to have worked together enough that you know that that person is capable and efficient in their sandbox, because they can tell you the partnerships that failed, people came in with promises of what they would do and what they would handle, and then they were crap. They did not handle their sandbox. They did not fulfill our agreements. They did not perform up to this an acceptable standard. So there's 50 million ways someone cannot be good at their section of the business. And there's a very narrow, think about if when you're trying to hire staff, right? How hard is it to get that employee that you don't have to sit on top of, that you don't have to continually be checking in on, that employee that's self-motivated, that's efficient, that does what they say they're going to do on time, every time. It's so rare. So transfer that over to a partnership, but now you're joined at the hip with this person. Your whole business reputation depends on them. Your customer satisfaction depends on them. Your revenue depends on them. Like, really? How are you going to find that person
Exactly.
that's as good as you are when you
Yeah.
are a top performer and a top producer? And so let's say with this new guy she's found, okay, he's also a top performer and a top producer, but what if you have a mismatch in values? Because that was one of my partnerships, that failed. The guy that bought half my company was Indian male. Now that's we're into the patriarchy, We're into someone that, as much as he would like to say that women are equal, he's not going to treat women equally. He's hardwired from birth and in his whole culture to treat women unequally. And that's what broke the partnership. Well, it didn't break the partnership, but it destroyed the business, because he withheld key information that if he'd shared with me, I would have gone, oh, okay, well, let's, instead of going this way, let's dog leg, let's go that way, let's build this section of the business instead. But he didn't tell me because he thought I'd be super pissed off. I mean, that's a whole other story. And so the company just gradually wasted away until I was like, okay, let's just fold this. We're done. Nothing's happened. Yeah. Nothing's. So there's all these reasons, like you said, 50 million reasons why it could go wrong, maybe two reasons why it could go right.
Mm-hmm.
So from your perspective, why has our partnership worked so successfully for, we've been in business together for 25 years.
Yeah. Shit, it's a long time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's longer, because 1995 we got married, and by 1997 we were kind of doing work together. And I think if you nail it back to the advice I gave to Kathy, you saw how I was in business from 1995 to 97 in terms of rainmaker and hustling and stuff. And I saw what you were like, because you were writing this book for 2 years, and it just became a natural progression. Because we were married,
but before I wrote the book, you saw me go through a conflict and a dissolution of a partnership. So you knew how I behaved in conflict.
Yeah.
You had seen me in conflict.
And you had seen me in conflict because I had had a partnership.
That's right.
Hong Kong, which I actually put down to my fault, which it went wrong. Because I was green and hairy at the time. It was my first ever business, all right? And I got some money leaving Hong Kong to come to live in Canada. And the business just took off straight away. And the person we were doing business with, he had his own piece of equipment, but I was using another piece of equipment and his wasn't as good. And eventually got pissed off because his was not making as much money as the one mine was. And he was still in the middle of it. And I didn't handle it very well, quite frankly. I didn't handle the cost very well. And I was like, I didn't know what I was not didn't know what I was doing, but we both won at the end of it. But it set me up going, you know, I don't really want to be in partnership with anyone. So, but anyway, so getting back to the reasons why you and I seem to work very well. Number one, I focus on key areas which I'm really good at, and I don't delve into the areas that Jeannie is extremely good at. Jeannie is an ABC person. I'm a all over the place type person. And I think that works brilliantly, because you've kind of got the accounting mentality and the new business development mentality integrated together. She doesn't piss with my sandbox and I don't get involved with hers. And I think that's why it's worked really, really well. And we communicate really well. We're super efficient. We're super, we both admire the skill sets of each other's. I mean, she's a really good salesperson. She could probably sell just as well as I could, because she's very good at that. But she knows that's my complete and utter, you know, top talent.
And also, it's speaking about how you decide what areas of the business you take on. That's a really good point, Ian. Actually, it's not just what you're good at; it's what do you love doing.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm good at sales. I don't like it. You are great at sales and you love it.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So why wouldn't that go in your
sandbox? An order. Yeah, give me an order.
You know, that goes in your sandbox, because not only are you good at it, you love it. And the love and the joy is a really big, important part about how you delineate out the tasks, because that's what'll give you the long-term staying power.
Yeah, and this one just develops and creates and develops and creates, which is exactly the type of thing I love. I love taking new stuff and just putting it out there. And
yeah,
I get a constant array of new stuff, and I don't even have to ask for it.
I'm the creative new ideas person. So I think that's really important. Just to recap, number one, we had already, because we were married, seen each other working in close proximity, understood the way each other worked. Number two, we had both seen each other come through a financial based conflict. And we saw how we behaved. We saw how, if we were honorable, we saw how we treated the other person and how we talked about the other person. Next, we were very clinical about dividing up what you loved and what you were good at and what I loved and what I was good at, and saying, you have your sections to the business, you do that. Like, even when it came time to set up the health store, because my readers had been begging me to set up a health store, which I didn't want to do because that's not my thing, but they were asking. So I felt really bad for them. So at that point I went to Ian and I identified, okay, what are my strengths here? What am I willing to do? Okay, Ian, how about this? If I set up the shop, so I do the shopping cart and all the product and inventory and suppliers and like merchant account, I set it up, will you run it? Because that's the part that I was like, this, I'll die a slow death if I'm running a retail store. Like, I just don't want to handle that ongoing back end, like inventory, order fulfillment, customer service. Like, just kill me now. It's just Groundhog Day.
I'm going to add a very interesting point here, because this is something I haven't mentioned to Kathy, and I think everybody out there might want to consider this too. By the time I was not ready to go into business with Jeannie, it became a natural progression. And then there was an energetic universal drive for me to do something more meaningful with the skill sets that I had put together over the last 25, 30 years of my life. And I had run an ad agency. I'd been making money for other people all my life. And then when Jeannie wrote this book about the healing of her healing journey, it just seemed like, and we had our first child, it seemed like the next natural progression would be to step in and finally make money selling my and her own stuff rather than other people's. So there was a natural progression for that, a universal kind of timing as well, which I was 100% ready for. And over the last 25 years, nothing has given me great pleasure than reading every single email that comes in every day from our customers saying, Jeannie's healed me. There's three today, Jeannie, you should read. They're unbelievable. You should read them today, right? And that gives me purpose, right? So partnership is exciting, but it has to give you the purpose and it has to give you the vision and the meaning as to why you're freaking doing it, right? So for example, let's take Kathy, for example. She does this, she has her business and she's really good at it. I said, if you find this partner and you make money together and then you do collaborate in a year with shares or whatever, provided you're still doing what you love doing, and he's going to accelerate that for you to more people, then the purpose of that is really good. The meaning of that is really good. It's in conjunction with your higher self of what you're supposed to be doing to help people in the gardens or whatever that business is, right? So don't discount that part of it, because it's critical for keeping things going really, really well, because you can always come back to it. If things aren't doing so well, you can, like today, not having a great day today. And then I read those three emails. It's like, whoa, fuck, I know why I'm doing this stuff, right? Because there's still people out there we're touching every single day, and it's meaningful.
Okay. So let's get back into Kathy's situation. She's a residential landscaper. This other guy, let's call him Dennis, is a commercial landscaper.
Dennis.
Let's talk about what a joint venture between Dennis and Kathy's companies could look like and why that would even be beneficial for either of them. Like, how would you structure that JV?
I don't know what old Dennis does, right? I don't know too much about
it. He does commercial landscape. So for like townhome and condo complexes, apartment complexes, he would take care of the landscaping and the common grounds, right?
Oh, okay.
For so offices.
He would then pull her in to do all the work?
No. He has his own crews. They do that work. For offices, he does the landscaping outside and around the building. So.
Right.
My question when I look at them is, why does he need her and why does she need him?
Right,
like, how is it that them coming together is going to benefit either of them. I mean, I guess the only
Right.
thing I can think of is that Dennis has residential clients asking him to do work, but he doesn't want to do it. He wants to stick with commercial. And then maybe like some of Julia's clients, they are very wealthy people, so they own businesses and apartment complexes, and they might be like, "Oh, could you do this? My corporate headquarters, could you do mine?" She'd be like, "Yeah, my partner or my this other branch of my business handles commercial. I'll pass you over to Dennis."
Yeah, I don't. I think they need to explore it more. I think you need to explore customers, and you need to explore the services offered, and then start off with maybe a referral-based type relationship. It's quite funny because I'm just going to veer off a little bit because there's this very young friend of Zara, our daughter, who set up her own handyman business right now. So I picked up the phone to Julia before she told me this partnership thing and said, "Look, you're young, she's young. Why don't you just collaborate together? When she's going to customers' houses fixing bathrooms, just say, 'Oh, by the way, there's a good company that can do your garden.' And similarly, Kathy, when you go to a customer, you've done the swimming pool, just tell them, 'Oh, I've got someone who can do your windows for you,' type thing, right? Or you have a little questionnaire and an email, and then you could both make money off each other, but you don't make money from affiliating, you just pass customers over, right? That's a good way of just joint venturing because you're promoting entrepreneurship, you're promoting younger people, you're promoting word of mouth, and that's the best form of business, all right? So you could do it that way. You could literally do it where there's no financial relationship between you, and you just start passing customers over or work. And if it starts working well, then you take it to the next level, right?
I thought of another benefit that they could have from joint venturing would be when it comes to buying equipment. Because, you know, we know just from running the ranch here, like if I buy an excavator, how much am I going to need that excavator? But if I had an excavator and five other people had access to that excavator, we collaborated on it, and each of us gets to use it when we need it, that hugely reduces the cost and impact of investing in the excavator. So that would be a definite way it could benefit, because in landscaping, your major cash outlay is in your equipment. Right. So if they had expensive pieces of equipment that they could share and it could just go to whichever job site needed it next, that would be a benefit. And then the cost of that is shared.
And I think the other thing that's critical here when, because there's probably tons of people out there who constantly are looking at, if you ever own business, how am I get my funding next, right? Or venture opportunities and stuff. I think one of the key things is, what are you going to be bringing in for your 50% shareholding? What am I going to be bringing in for my 49, 50, whatever that shareholding is, all right? And is it in financial? Is it equipment? Is it services? Is it clients? Is you got to be really defined as to what that value is that you're going to be providing to that partnership. And then you weigh that up. Could I get that elsewhere by doing it myself? All right? Because as soon as you give up shareholding, it's a different game. And all of you, I don't know if you've ever watched Dragon's Den or Shark Tank or whenever an entrepreneur gives up their equity, which is blood, sweat, and tears, that's what it is, especially for an entrepreneur, you've given your business up, period. And you've given it up so the investor can get what this thing called is an ROI, which we all know is return on investment. That's all they're interested in. They all want happy customers, but at the end of the day, they want to get their million back plus 30%, whatever that figure is. So the drive then becomes to grow the gross sales of the company, which might not necessarily be the vision of what you want your company to be doing at that time. So you've got to be really careful with partnerships to make sure you get the equity in balance with what you're actually giving in to, that partnership, right? And if you feel I'm giving 80%, they're only in 20, then you go, right, I'm getting 80%, you get 20. Don't just go 50-50 because you like him and stuff like that. So there's a lot to this before you give up. And I was trying to tell that to Kathy too. I said, how much of your business do you own? She goes, 100%. I said, right. And how long is it taking to build up? 4, 5, 6 years. Yeah. I said, that has sweat equity in it. It's worth something now. So don't just give that up for the sake of saying I've now got a partner to get some money. Because there's ways you can get money. We've already been discussing that. There's tons of ways you can get money. So
Okay.
it's more com sorry, Gina, I'm gonna
So Kathy sent me another proposal here for another way that they could work this, and they're going to call it a management company. So they've got this thing, let's call it Creek Landscape, acts as a management company, owning all client relationships, branding, admin, and operations. And then they have a whole roster of independent contractors that they're going to call root operators, service all the properties under their brand. So Creek Landscape is the management company. They own the clients. All the commercial and residential contracts are signed between Creek Landscape and the client. All right. So they do the selling. They quote on the job, they sell, and they manage the relationship with the client. The root operators just do the work. So these are independent contractors, complete the physical work of mowing, maintenance, pressure washing, etc. But they're under the brand. So to the customer, they think that these root operators are just employees of Creek Landscaping, right? So they operate under their brand and to their service standards. Creek Landscape handles the CRM, billing, collections, quoting, scheduling, and customer service, which is for the independent contractor, the part that they usually don't like. They don't like to handle the people. They like to just show up and do the work, right? In return, the contractors, the root operators, they get 70% of the revenue they generate. So they are giving 30% to Creek Landscape for getting them the client, managing the client, invoicing, collections, etc. For one sells for upsells or one-time work, so let's say they're on a job and they upsell the client into a vegetable garden as well as landscaping, they can earn up to 80% revenue. The contractors can rent Creek Landscaping equipment. They can have us run payroll for their own employees or their helpers if they want. So the contractors can earn more without admin or overhead. Creek Landscape maintains quality control, client trust, and brand reputation. The clients get reliable professional service with no disruption.
Interesting.
So this is very similar to a cleaning service. This is the way a cleaning company works, right? Like they will like Easy Clean. Easy Clean will handle all the contracts with commercial, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll have all the cleaners who are on their roster who actually go in and do the work. And I'll tell you the number one problem with that is doing the job to the same standard.
There we go. There you have it. A
And which is,
contractor won't do it the same as an employee, unfortunately, I don't
that's
think.
right, which is your problem with employees, is getting that employee who does a
Yeah.
great job every time, self-motivated, efficient, and self-monitoring.
Yeah.
And I guess they're thinking that they're going to get around that by having the contractors operating their own registered business. But someone who's advanced enough in their skill set to own a registered company, I can't see that person being willing to give up 30% of their revenue for someone to handle the client and the billing and client acquisition.
The big question you need to ask Kathy here, because Kathy owns a company that provides those services to customers, and she owns the customer right now. So the big question is, Kathy, that big contract you got for 180 grand, would you give up 30% of your revenue to some other bugger to manage it while you just go in there and do the work? That's
But
as you own the contract.
no, because Kathy got that client. But see, what they're saying is, well, if you get the
Oh.
client, you get 80%. Would she give up 20% of
Right.
her revenue to get rid of invoicing? I mean, you're still going to have to manage the client because if you're there on site, the client comes out, they're talking to you. There's not a lot of client management that's going to go on.
And also, I see a huge brand problem here as well. Because, like you said, when you're outsourcing to a contractor and they mess up, your brand goes down the toilet, right? But
Yep.
if you're managing your portfolio of contractors under your umbrella, you have SOPs and you put in quality control measures. And so I don't know if this would work. I mean, maybe it does, but there's a lot of questions to the business model. So I would question Kathy to ask those questions on the business model before she even goes anywhere near some sort of partnership, in my opinion. Because she might think, well, I can make our business just as big by doing it on my own. Why do I need someone else? Or is this another way that she wants to get involved with accelerating the growth of not just running a service company? She becomes part of a management company. Right. So these are all questions Kathy
Yeah,
has to think
but
to
then there's
herself.
the question to her, do you really want to spend your whole day doing
That's right.
invoicing and payroll
Oh.
and
She
being
loves
on the phone,
hands and
being on the
plants.
phone with people who are pissed off or have issues? Like, really, is that your idea of a
Yeah.
good day? Like, oh, what did you say? I spent 8 hours invoicing and billing. Really?
My phone call with Kathy, she was in the freaking plant shop. And I was talking to her, and she's talking to the plant lady while she's talking to me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't offended. I thought it's hysterical because I was asking her stupid questions to try and put her off when she was trying to pay for the plants. But the bottom line is that was her joy juice.
Yeah.
She was so happy picking all these plants. I'm getting all these plants. You could just feel it,
Yeah.
right? That's who she is and what she wants to be. Like Jeannie, her joy juice is sitting there writing books and healing people. My joy juice is picking the freaking phone up. It doesn't matter, brilliant, whatever. So she's in her space. I don't think, as Jeannie pointed out, that she's thinking through what her day is going to look like because, I think she's still got a lot more plants to be planted in the next.
Yeah, because what they say, we handle the back end. CRM, which is customer response management, billing, collections, quoting on jobs, scheduling, and customer service. So basically, you've taken yourself out as a creative planner of these projects. You've taken yourself out as someone who shows up on site or like goes to the plant shop and purchases plants. You've turned yourself into an office worker.
Yeah.
And you're taking, in my opinion, like everything that they've listed that they're going to do, I would outsource. And in
I
our
would.
company, it is outsourced.
Yeah.
Like we
Yeah.
have five customer service people and I'm only tagged if they can't answer the question, if it's something they can't handle. Otherwise, that's outsourced. Our invoicing, we have someone who does that. Our collections are not a problem. Because everything's pretty tickety-boo on that. Our accounting, everything else is outsourced. So why would
Yeah.
you want to take what I consider to be lower, shittier tasks? Like, come on, what would be better for you to go out and pitch a new business to a client and plan their edible landscape garden versus sitting in an office handling the invoicing and collections? And like what? How is that an
Yeah.
improvement for you and your business?
Yeah. And you see, this is why entrepreneurship and idea generation and brainstorming and creation of the next steps, I find fabulous. I love it, right? And anyone listening now to this will probably have an opinion as to what would be a good way to go. Because there's no right or wrong way to set these type of things up, right? But all you can do is gain knowledge and experience by talking to other people who may or may not have done things like this, and then follow your own gut guidance and your universal passion and mission, and then jump into it, right? So again, Jean and I do not have the definitive answers here, but hopefully we're just going to awaken thought processes in your little gray cells to be able to make better decisions. That's how I would kind of view it. And if you look at Kathy's situation, so she owns a contracting company. Would she, if she wasn't involved with this management company, would she, if she was being approached by this management company, give up that percentage of revenue to go and work under their auspice of giving them clients, guaranteed clients? All right. So she doesn't have to worry about them getting the customer. But those customers don't belong to her, they belong to the management company. All right. And that's the question she has to answer, I think.
Yeah.
And
And also what's in it, like again, the type of person and personality who would have a registered landscaping business, the registered co. So right there we're talking, this person is not in employee mindset. This person is in business owner mindset. Otherwise, they wouldn't have registered their company. Are they going to be willing? Are they going to see that as a benefit to never own their customer, to not have the relationship directly, that they could just be fired in a second and they have no client list because they're all
I wouldn't do it in a heartbeat,
management's clients and giving up 30% of the revenue for that? How is that a win for the contracting business?
I'll throw something else in here. The main reason we met Kathy was that she was working next door at our old house. And I went up to her and said, "Do you want to come do my garden, girl?" And she said, "Sure, ma'am." So she came and had a look, and then she became our gardener. And she was our best gardener and landscaper, and the good thing is we had conflict with her. So can you imagine if we'd had conflict with the contractor? I then have to go and deal with some idiot who's sitting on the telephone who has no idea of the problem that I'm going through, who's then instructing her to go back in to sort it out. And I'm going, "Well, I want to deal with you. I don't want to deal with the freaking management company because they're not here. What about you? You sort this out, right?" And all they'd done is they dug a channel, a channel to move some water from the land further down the back of the land, and it didn't work very well. So you have to keep coming in to sort it out. Didn't charge me extra. So all those type of things have to be sorted out because I guarantee you with this business, there's constant problems going on with, whether it's water or it didn't settle very well or the plants weren't put in the right place or whatever it is, right? How is that going to be resolved with the customer? And is the contractor going to be paid more for that? I mean, all those type of things need to be resolved. And I have to say, Kathy was amazing in the resolution of all of that. And she was also really good with the payment terms because I'm a bugger to deal with when it comes to things like that, right? So I like dealing with directly with the contractor. So these are
So
things that go on to the
here's
customer.
that's another really good point, because I just recently had an experience like this, outsourcing to computer programmer on Upwork. And so normally I will hire a computer programmer and I talk directly to him. So if there's an issue, he tells me what the issue is. I ask him questions, he answers. Well, this time I thought, well, but if he's sick, then he's not working. If he's on holiday, he's not working. So I thought, you know what? I want a secondary person. I want a backup. Why don't I try an agency where they have a roster of programmers? And then if that works out well, I've got the two, right? Okay. So I hire this agency. Freaking nightmare. Every question I ask, the customer service rep, i.e., Creek Management, has to go and talk to the programmer. Find out from the programmer, come back to me, talk to me. I ask a second question. By this time, it's maybe heading to the end of their workday because they're in a different time zone. Like it was like what Chinese water torture. It took so long to get the tiniest job done that I was like, just kill me now. There's no way. So that's the other thing. They're not looking at it from the customer perspective, like what you just talked about. If I have a problem with the person to my, I want to go out in the yard and I want to talk to that person. I don't want to have to say, oh, I don't handle that. Creek Management, the Creek Management will be phoning you. As the customer, you're not, and then you have to sit there, explain it to Creek Management. Creek Management says, yes, well, I talked to our contractor and their perspective is this. And you're like, no, come out and look at the lawn. It's not that. It's just like, it's just going to be, I just can't see that being enjoyable for the
We
customer
already had that
either.
when our fridge went on the blink. We had to deal with like Frigidaire or whoever they were, and they sent out contractors. And the contractors said this, it was like a nightmare. You're dealing with A over here and B over here. And as the customer going, "If I can just sort my, excuse my language, sort the bloody fridge out. I don't care who, just sort the bloody fridge out. Oh, I don't know. I've got to, And I think the other thing that Kathy should do is maybe go and poll her customers and just have a little, ask them a question and just say, "Hey, guess what? If we were to work with a management company, would you?" I guarantee you, all of them said, "No, we want to work with Kathy." Why? Because she's a freaking angel. That's it.
100%, 100%.
She has to think about this very carefully, positioning of her own company and what it stands, where she wants it to go, how she wants it to grow, because the joy of tons of money can sometimes get in the way of really the day-to-day, what really excites you, right?
But would it, because that was, I was going to move us to that place exactly.
What
Is this
place?
about tons of money, or like, let's look at what might be the drivers between Dennis and Kathy wanting to do a joint venture, a partnership, or this management model. Like, what would be the motivation for them to do that? I think, first of all, as a solo entrepreneur, solopreneur, you get to a point where you're like, wow, it'd be really nice to have some help. You
Yeah,
know,
right.
emotionally, it's nice to work with someone. So like, and that's been again the strength of one of our partnership. You and I, we have 3 to 4 hour breakfasts where we just brainstorm and we go through everything, we problem solve, and it's wildly creative and it's really satisfying. So
Yeah.
right now, Dennis and Kathy don't have that
No.
partner feeling, this person's on my side, this person's got my back, this person's heading the same direction. We both want the same things, and that juice, that creative synergy that happens. So I think that's one of the reasons that they're both looking for to do
Yeah.
something like
But there's
this.
opportunity there for sure.
And I think the second reason is that they do both have a belief that if they work together, they can generate more money than they each could independently.
Yeah. Okay. So
So,
here's an idea for Kathy then, given what you've just said. She keeps Kathy's current landscaping business separate, and she goes in and tries working for X management company. But my company doesn't become part of it. I still do my own thing with it, and I watch
yeah,
how the
but then
thing works.
Kathy's going to have to be one of the contractors under Creek Management, giving up 30% of her
No, but
revenue.
that's what I mean. She says, I'm not going to do that. I want to watch how this model works before I put my thing into it. If the model works really well and it's growing and I'm making more money, then sure, I don't mind doing that. But this way, she keeps her 100% shareholding of a business separate. She tests the new model to see if it works. Meantime, she still keeps all of her clients.
Well,
And then they.
I think the proposal here is that Kathy and Dennis form a third company called Creek Management,
Yes.
and they're partners in that, and then
They've
that's the
not made
management.
$1 of revenue between them either, working with each other.
Yeah,
Doesn't make
that's
sense to
the
me.
and then but then as then each of them puts their business as an independent contractor under the Creek Management brand. You're still going to have all the same problems we just discussed.
What she should
So,
do,
yeah.
okay, so what she should do, Dennis keeps management company. Kathy keeps contracting company. They have an agreement that Kathy's company then starts trying some of the clients that management company offers, but keeps her clients happy. So these are all new customers that Kathy does. If it starts working well and they start making more money, Kathy has the option to become part of management company. And that way they can test it. Because Kathy can say, no, I don't like this model at all. It's not going to work. I much prefer doing plants than invoices. But until they test what the model is going to be doing, but it's a gentle process, all right? And they're both working together now. There's money coming in, and she's working under this model of 30%. She goes, shit, I don't really like this model. This is controlling. I don't like this. I like to be with my clients, standing there by the swimming pool and saying, you need rhododendrons over there, and you need a nice little light and a thing over there. And the
Well, I
clients
think
go, oh, great idea.
the other sell of this management model is that Creek Landscape procures the clients, which
Right.
is maybe the thing that a lot of contractors don't like to do, right? Like most people don't like to sell. So they're like, we'll do the selling, we'll get you the clients, and then we'll manage the relationship, we'll invoice and collect. And so you just show up and do what you love, which is landscaping.
Yeah. And let me
Right,
tell you,
which sounds great in
it's
theory.
not. It's funny. It's funny for Neckerman. One of the first things Jeannie and I did for our business when we launched one stupid, I wasn't going to say stupid book, Jeannie, I didn't mean it like that, but one solitary book valued at $24.95 put into a US warehouse where we were going to make absolutely Jack Daniel revenue in terms of sales, like 150 books, we're basically making $3,000 a month. You can't live on that, right? Well, you could do in those days. And it was not sustainable because it's a one book purchase. But all we did, we collected every single name and freaking address of that book, which is why we did not go to a book publisher, because you don't get the names of your customers. So when we launched our product business, we had a list of nearly 6,000 people in a spreadsheet, which we were then able to email and said, guess what? Genie's now got a health store, and everybody flocked to it. Why? Because we own the customer. And to this day, our whole business has been built on the fact that we go one-to-one with our customer, which is why we've stayed away from doing Amazon, because Amazon don't let you get your customer. We use Amazon Marketplace, but we try not to give them the FBA stuff, right, where we don't have the customer's name. Because if you own your customer, you can build a brilliant relationship with them. And that's the fundamental of any business, right? And that's what will keep you going forever. Sorry, Jeannie, I had to add that story in there.
Yeah, but the contractors that they're looking at probably are not aware of that, and probably don't, we're going to assume, don't understand the value of owning the client. So they're happy to have Creek Landscape own the client. Mm-hmm. Unless they're not, like, and that's what you said, like, ask Kathy herself, would you put all your clients into Creek Landscape, and would you give away 30% of your revenue just to have someone handle your paperwork and your customer service, when the customer is going to want to come outside the door and talk to you anyway? So you're probably not going to be getting rid of your customer service, because if they come outside and talk to you, you're going to talk to them. So now you're giving away 30% of your revenue for what? For invoicing?
Yeah, right.
For billing? And
go tell your customers, Kathy, that they now have to deal with someone over the phone and not you. Yeah. If you want to book a patio or a new freaking bunch of plants or whatever.
Yes.
You don't get to make that decision anymore.
I think that's an excellent thing. Go and say to your customers, I'm thinking of doing this. Would you be happy to work this way? But they might kind of go, well, I guess if I can still have the, and then they actually do it. And that's when she's going to hear from her customers, I don't like this way of doing it. Can't I just talk to you? That's what's going to happen. I guarantee it. Absolutely guarantee it.
I can see that potential new customers that she could service. I can see the value in that. These new customers don't know any different, but sure, the existing list that she has, which is a sweat equity of last 5-6 years, and she's just got a contract for $180,000.
I can also see this model working better for Dennis's business. Yes, because he has commercial business clients who there's usually some, you know, caretaker on site who manages the landscaper. Like, there's not that, they don't care.
No.
I can see this working really well for commercial contracts. I don't see it working well for residential contracts.
A lot of this is dependent on what Kathy wants to be doing in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And this has all been highlighted because of this financial issue that's cropped up. Right.
Yeah.
And it said, I need to get more money. All right. But there's tons of ways to make money. And it's always nice to, I mean, here's the old question, the adage, right? Do you want 2% of a billion or 100% of a million? All right. And it's always really good to ask yourself that question, because having a small cut of a big amount, but you have to deal with shit, is sometimes not worth it. And I've seen it many times. So owning 100% of a million is very pleasant, because you get to have control. You get to have the freedom. You get to make the decisions. You get to wake up whatever time you like. You don't have to have a Zoom meeting at 4 a.m. and blah, blah, blah. Right. And all those things are not, they don't have a value to them in terms of a money thing. They are a human driver as to how you want to operate and live your life, right? And that's what it becomes as you're an entrepreneur. How do you want to live your life, right?
So yeah, and
a lot of people like that. A lot of people want to be, oh yeah, freaking, I've got $2 billion in the bank. Okay, how's that changed your life then? How many Ferraris have you got? How many speedboats do you have? Right? Meaningless. All right. So you've got to really be careful here as to do evaluation. And let me tell you, as an entrepreneur for like 30 years, I'm still having to do it. Even today, I'm evaluating. Now, what do we do? It's non-freaking stop.
Okay, so one last final thing that we're going to brainstorm before we sign off here for Kathy's benefit, because I know that Kathy's pain point is her business is 5 hours away on the coast. She's moved north of that where she loves the life and she loves the community. So she doesn't want to live on the coast again. But she's at some point wanting to have a baby. So driving 5 hours down to the coast every week or every 2 weeks to manage her clients and her teams, her crews that are doing the work is where I think she's looking to, you know, oh, if I joint venture, I go into partnership with Dennis. I think she's thinking that he can help out with that and monitor, help out with running. But I don't see how that's going to come to pass, because Dennis is going to always operate his business at maximum capacity. He's always going to have as many clients as he can possibly have. So where does that leave him room to help Kathy out with her clients or to pop over and deal with an issue at one of her clients? Like, I just don't see that that's going to get her any more freedom. So the other thing that she had tried was hiring a manager, training the manager and having the manager run it, which worked well until it didn't. And so this is kind of a separate topic, but also on topic. And that started me thinking, is it ever going to be possible for Kathy to run that business remotely and have that work where she, because this is a small business, this is not a business with a big corporate structure and a couple layers of management to take up the slack, right? And at first I was thinking, no, it's just going to fail, because you're always going to hit that spot, because nobody's as good as you, nobody cares as much as you, and no one manages the customer like you do, because she's, again, she is a top operator. And top operators don't work for other people unless you can pay them, you know, 200, 250,000 minimum per year. Well, when you're a small business, you can't afford to hire at that level. So then anybody at your level who's a top operator is going to own their own business. That's just the way, like, it's a really nice idea to have a manager to manage everything. In 30 years, I've never had someone. Now, I've never been able to pay someone $250,000 a year, but I've had people. Remember when you had the ad agency, we hired that guy. He had an MBA and a law degree. And yet he was one of our worst employees ever.
Don't pick the bloody phone up.
Yeah. So you can get some, oh, he's super qualified, or he's super experienced, or he's super, and then you hire them and they work for you and you're like, oh, you're like
way more intelligent than me. Like, I mean, he had more freaking. Oh, but I'm going, can you make a phone call, please, and sell something? Oh no. I wanna chip in here. Based on Kathy's scenario. All right, so let's say she's never had a baby for 3 years. All right. Entrepreneurship is about sacrifice. Sorry, you have to sacrifice, whether it's investment with money, time, relationships, travel, it's just reality, all right? And so let's put this venture out the way. And what Jeannie was mentioning there about, should she hire a manager? This is what I would do if I was in her shoes, all right? I would drive down to the coast on a Sunday night. I would work Monday to Friday, come back Friday evening, and have weekends in my palace. My uncle, who is now a very wealthy man, spent 14, 18, I don't know, I mean, about 18 or 19 years living in Surrey, commuting every Sunday night up to a place called Telford in Shropshire. And he did that to build his first business in the UK. And he did it. He would come back, coach his kids at the weekend, bust his balls, then drive up. And that was the sacrifice he
yeah,
made.
Yeah, but your uncle is not a breastfeeding mom. She's going to have a baby. She's going to have
in 3 years. But so for 3 years, she's got all the energy under the sun.
Yeah.
So she goes and just builds up.
I don't think it's 3 years. I think she wants to have a kid in the next year. But anyway, my point was, the other thing I was thinking of for her, you know, we've never had the video conferencing call ability that we have now. That's
Right.
what's new. So for me, in managing the ranch, anybody who comes on here to work, I don't have to go out. Like maybe they're, 80 acres away from me. I don't have to go out there to see what they're doing. I call them on a video call, either on Telegram or FaceTime, and I go, show me what you're doing. And they put the camera so they can show me, and then I coach them. I go, oh, nope, sorry, that's a misunderstanding. I didn't want it to go there. I want it to go here. I want to, okay, now show me this. And they show me, okay, that looks awesome. Can you do this? Like I can manage that. What difference does it make whether I'm 80 acres away or I'm 5 hours drive away? I am managing that worker the same way using video calls. And that's what I was saying to her. Like, I don't see why that wouldn't work now. It just means that you have to stay on top of your workers. You have to have those regular video calls with them, keep them on track. And then, so the only times you physically have to go down, or but you, if things are going well with your client, you don't have to physically go see the client. You can just pick up the phone to the client, say, hey, I've been talking to, Amanda, who's been working on your project. She says everything's going great. We're happy with this. We're on schedule for this. Just want to check in with you. Anything else you need or anything you're not happy with? No? Okay, great. I'll be seeing you probably in about 3 weeks' time when we're nearing completion. And I'll keep you posted along the way. Done.
So, okay, this is good because now we have more context, which I didn't know before. So Kathy's going to have a baby in 2 years or wants to have a child in 2, 3 years, right? She's got this possibility of going into business with something which will provide her with an income for more customers, which is a good model based on what old Den Boy has proposed to her. She sees a good opportunity here. So she now has to make a decision personally, because obviously the personal baby stuff coming up, with what she does with her current landscaping business and her existing customers in plugging it into this new possible venture. So now would be a good opportunity for her to try the venture out where she takes on some of these customers. All right. If it works, then in 1 or 2 years' time, she can get involved with all the higher level stuff and then she can have a baby. And then she's got more income coming in from different customers and stuff. And she's tried about working with Dennis. So there's kind of like a nice little progression plan, right? But again, we've still got to decide if she still likes doing plants and swimming pools.
Yeah, she's got to map out what parts of the business she doesn't want to outsource and give away. But I want to just talk a little bit more about the baby thing because as someone who breastfed three children for 5 years,
I did too.
if she and Kathy's very physically strong and robust. So as long as she gets a baby who sleeps a decent amount of time,
Happening.
She can easily so I would invite her to rethink how she's thinking about a baby even, right? So she could, instead of driving down to the coast, she flies down with the baby. It's a 1 hour flight. She arrives, she rents a car, and that's a cost of doing business. So she
Yes.
rents a car for the few days that she's there. She has her mom who takes care of baby. She learns how to pump breast milk. And also, because of her business, which is landscaping, no client is going to be upset if she turns up with her baby strapped to her chest and baby can breastfeed, inside the sling while they're having a talk. Like she has a lot of leeway because it's not an office job in a corporate environment. So, she can flex between pumping milk and having her mom take care of the baby, taking the baby with her. The thing she cuts out is the driving because if you don't get enough sleep with an infant, you don't want to be driving 5 hours, but you can easily fly, and to just go really outside the box in terms of instead of saying, once I have a baby, I can't leave home, to go, yes, I can. I just have to change the way I do it. And I have to have more support systems for myself and I have to get more efficient.
And you can even put the baby to work at age two in the garden, right? Picking the daisies out or something like that, right? Because
Yeah.
if they and they didn't have to have a diaper on as well. You can just leave them in the dark grass. They save
Yeah.
on costs as well with diapers.
That'll be awesome. Okay, so I think we've covered a whole bunch of things here. For
Sorry. Kathy rings you tomorrow, asks you what you think she should do, what will you say after us brainstorming this?
I would say that my intuition is that her strongest motivators are to have someone else involved for support, brainstorming. It's just more fun when there's two people. Mm-hmm. And then her second main motivator is her concern about running and managing the business when she can't be there as much and mm-hmm. she wants to be more grounded at home. Mm-hmm. However, based on my experience of, you know, five partnerships, I would say exactly what you told her, which is work with this guy informally to start with.
Somehow.
Yeah. Figure out, like you said, give each other clients, start sharing equipment, and you have to have an actual live felt experience of working with Dennis and him with you.
And have a fight with him.
Yeah. And do that until you have a fight. You need to have a serious, not a little conflict. You need to have a conflict that involves money.
Yeah.
And I would see how he behaves.
Yeah. Very good advice from Jeannie. Often learning more context, Auntie Kathy, this is what I would suggest. Again, I'm not you, and I'm not going to have another baby. Thank you very much indeed. I would 100% keep your current consulting company with your clients. I would venture with him and put new clients into your current setup. That would mean you're going to go down there a little bit more. Just it is what it is. You can tell Uncle Husband to come up and have breakfast with us more if he wants while you've gone, and you see how that works. All right. And then you poll your current customers and say, look, would you be interested in, and see what.
Okay. Wait, you said put your current customers. I didn't understand what you said there. You're saying keep your current business with your current customers, put new customers into Creek Landscape Management.
No. Creek Landscape will put new customers into Kathy's business, because I'm assuming that's what they want. I think Creek wants Kathy's customers to come under their umbrella. That's what I would say. If I was Dennis, I'd say, right, you can bring over existing customers to us straight away. That's kind of what I would think he's looking for. And then you become part of the bigger picture.
Saying don't do that. Only
I'm
put
saying
new
keep
clients.
100% customers and put new customers into your company and see how it rolls.
Into Creek Management.
And see how you like it.
Yeah, I think that's what I said.
Then poll. Did I say that? I said that. Yeah. And then poll your existing customers. Say, look, we're leaning to us. How would you feel about that? Working, you know, that's what I would do.
Yeah. But I think there's very little value in asking them how they'd feel about it, because people will say, it's like when you ask someone, hey, if I produce this product, and people go, yeah, I'd love that. And then it comes time for them to actually buy it and nobody buys it. That happens all the time.
I know if Kathy came to me and we were still down and there and she says, oh, I'm going to move. I go like, but I like dealing with you.
True.
I'm going to go, I prefer if the shit hits the fan, I want to deal with you. All right. So I would think about it. And I might even go, well, maybe I'll go and find another contractor. Although these guys are really good. So you would put, as a customer,
fair.
I would make me think. All right.
Fair. Yeah. All right.
So, hope we got some good information, actually, Kathy. Are we further ahead?
I don't know. But our next podcast, we have had someone ask me if we can tell him, and I think we can get him to call in. So that he'll be here to ask and answer questions, but he would like to know how to set up his own business from the start, but not using any big words. Because he says when he goes to look it up online, how to do it, he goes, he can't understand what everybody's saying. So I think that I was like, wow, that's a fantastic ask.
Yeah, and very good.
For us to be able to provide a resource like that would be
And for all of you lot listening out there, the first podcast we did, we've had some amazing feedback. Because it's provoked thought. And like I said earlier, this whole concept of entrepreneurship is not black and white, all right? So there's so many myriads of things going on. So
And
hopefully this will
actually,
provide you
what we're
more.
doing here by taking actual real life questions and problems, this
Yeah.
is very similar to what I had, the relationship I had with my father, who's passed on now. But he was invaluable. I always had this experienced business person I could call and say, "What do you think?" And I think that's what's missing from a lot
I
of
agree.
people right now. They don't have the experienced business person who's done a lot of deals, worked overseas in multiple countries, run different types of businesses. They don't have that person that they can call and say, "What do you think of that? Should I do this?" And I think that's what we're doing. So anybody listening to this, whatever questions you have or things, issues you're struggling with, just let us know. We'll do a podcast for you as if we were your own personal business mentor.
And then also,
Pay it
if you do
forward.
hire consultants, it costs you an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
And you normally don't get the depth of context because they don't look into your personal side. They just look at it black and white, numbers, money, customers, competition, blah, 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 pricing. There you go, right? They don't go, oh, you want a baby in 2 years. All right, you're married or you don't want to travel down there, right? So,
Yeah, and they can't say what
you
it's
know.
like to have a baby because they're a guy and they've never had one. So,
I've had three babies hanging off me for fucking
oh
23
yeah,
years.
you did the breastfeeding, you birthed them, you understand what that reality is going to be
I
like.
slept with half the babies all my bloody life. Nearly
You did
squashed
night
half of them.
feedings with the third, so you have a perspective that most men
Yeah,
don't.
I've thoroughly enjoyed Kathy's journey.
Yes.
And I had a phone call with her yesterday about all the money stuff. So she's on it. And that's the most important thing. Just keep moving forward and doing shit. Because eventually you'll rattle you'll shake the trees and something will fall out, right?
Yeah. All right. Till next time.
The next time, be free. Be joyful, enjoy the journey.